We are two games into the NHL season at the time of this recording. And already, people are saying the same things about the Vancouver Canucks that they were saying during the Stanley Cup Final. That they're soft, that they fall down too easily, that they don't stand up for each other, that they're pussies. Well, we just don't think that's really necessarily true. And even if it is that such a bad thing? My name's Jason Carrillo.
I'm Chris Withers.
And we are Pucked in the Head.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, Chris.
We are doing a little extra recording today because there's a topic that... it's been floating around in my head, and it's pissing me off, quite frankly.
One, as there's not really much else going on in there, it must be kind of frustrating and pissing you off.
You know, I've got an echo.
That must be annoying.
I'm listening to the radio on the way out here today, and I hear BMAC on the Team 1040.
Barry McDonald
talking about how the Canucks didn't stand up after Henrik Sedin got run head first into the boards by Metho, whatever the hell his first name is.
By random third line player on a crappy team.
Yeah.
So a Columbus Blue Jackets player,
whatever.
Random.
He is such an insignificant little twerp, it doesn't matter what his name is.
But I think this is what they're actually complaining about, is when the insignificant players that nobody knows except for their coach, their line mates, and their moms, when they can go out and take down a Hart Trophy winning, Art Ross Trophy winning superstar.
But what would be accomplished, I ask, by beating the crap out of this guy? Assuming that the Canucks find themselves lacking in a fighter or somebody to go out and exact vengeance on this guy, what would they accomplish? Because the people that they are, quote, sending a message to are the same people that get paid to do this kind of crap.
So basically what you're asking is if this random method guy, we should probably find out his name, but if this random fellow hits Henrik from behind, he's probably looking for a fight?
Yes. Why give him one?
And therefore, if the Canucks do give him a fight, they are simply playing into his hands, because not only is Henrik possibly injured, but now the Canucks have an instigator penalty against them.
Exactly.
And if it's someone like Kevin Bieksa, pretty much their number one defenseman ends up in the box for 5 minutes or longer, because if he gets an instigator, that's 7 minutes. If he gets a misconduct, that's more.
Now, the particular pundit that I mentioned, Barry McDonald, said that he would rather the Canucks had lost that game and sent a message. What message?
Well, the message is that if you are going to hit our marquee players, that you're going to get a fist in the face.
Okay. If you are somebody who is employed to essentially take a fist in the face and offer a fist back to the face, why does that scare you? Why does that intimidate you? How are the likes of Mark Method, Paul Bissonnette, how are these guys intimidated at all?
Well, they're not.
Then why do it?
To be honest, I don't disagree with your position. As you know, I don't like fighting in the game. I think that the players have every right, and the management of the Vancouver Canucks or any other team, Pittsburgh Penguins, for example, have every right to expect that if you throw an illegal hit against one of our star players, your team will pay for it in the penalty box, on the scoreboard, potentially as fines to the league.
Why is there this pervasive opinion that in order to prevent getting assaulted on the ice, you have to assault people post-assault?
Because when we look at what happened last year in the Stanley Cup Finals, for example, Brad Marchand uses Daniel Sedin as a punching bag. No penalty of any kind. Johnny Boychuk broke Mason Raymond's back. No penalty, no discipline afterwards, even though he was nowhere near the puck. This year, this Mark Methot got a 2-minute boarding call for hitting Henrik Sedin in the numbers, in the danger zone, right basically 3 feet from the boards. Exactly the type of hit the NHL is trying to get out of the game, or so they say.
So just so I'm clear on the position here of the people out there, not you and me, if Brad Marchand had been punched in the face after punching Daniel Sedin in the face, these guys really think that Brad Marchand would cease to be a dick.
Okay, what these guys are looking for, they're not looking for a gloved fist in the face like what he was giving Daniel Sedin. Like, they basically want someone to go over there, rip his helmet off, and break his orbital bone. That's the kind of vengeance these guys are looking for. I don't agree with it, but that has been the environment in the NHL for decades.
So in order to prevent stars getting run into the boards like Henrik was yesterday, you actually need to cross the line from hockey to assault.
I think that's what these people are looking for. Is they don't just want you to drop the gloves, because that's not sending a message. If Kevin Bieksa fights Mark Methot, Columbus wins, because they get Kevin Bieksa off the ice for at least 5 minutes and possibly more.
If anybody fights Mark Methot.
But okay, if, let's say, Vice goes ahead and fights him, okay? Fourth liner for fourth liner. Columbus doesn't win. You're not going to send a guy like Jerome Iginla over the boards to protect Brendan Morrison.
Okay, but there's two possibilities here. Either Methot goes, and I don't know why he would go in that situation, or he declines to fight, and you either have to assault him and take an instigator penalty, or do nothing.
Well, I think that, again, we're looking at, they're trying to change how the game is viewed by those in the game. You've got coaches and general managers, a lot of whom grew up and developed as players, general managers, and coaches in that old system. So basically, if Methot hits Henrik from behind and then doesn't drop the gloves when he's challenged, in the old system, he would have been sent to the minors after that. He wouldn't have played. The coach would have sat him, been embarrassed by it. The GM would have sent him down to the AHL or further because he broke the code.
But this isn't the old days anymore. The likes of Matt Cook are...
And that's the problem, is when you get guys now, you look at Keith Ballard throws a legal hip check, and there's a scrum afterwards because the guy went ass over tea kettle, right? Well, hey, Rick Nash just landed on his keister, so we've got to fight. But then again, that's what Columbus is built on. Columbus doesn't have a whole bunch of superstars. They've got two guys who can skate, and the rest of them are all pluggers, right? So if anybody touches Rick Nash, we got to go. But you look up and down the Canucks roster, how many fighters are there?
Maybe two if you count Bieksa.
Okay. Do we want Bieksa to be sitting down for 5 or 7 minutes or longer if he hurts his hand? No.
No, we do not want anybody sitting down for a fight.
But okay, but if somebody like Volpatti breaks his hand during a fight because he hits somebody on the helmet or the visor, and he's out of the lineup for 10 games or 12 games, is that going to affect the Canucks in the end?
I don't know. The fourth line played 10 minutes last night.
If Kevin Bieksa sits down for 10 or 12 games because of a broken hand.
Oh, sure. It's a matter of degrees. I understand that.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying, is that teams have players that they assume will take up the mantle and go if they need to. And every time a guy like Jerome Iginla or Kevin Bieksa drops the gloves, everybody in the upper suite holds their breath.
I just find it frustrating, and I wanted to have this conversation because it's been ticking me off. And nobody can seem to justify their position. It's always, I understand what the Canucks are doing. They're saying, we're going to use our power play as a deterrent.
Which worked until the Stanley Cup final last year.
Yes, when they stopped calling penalties.
But even then, I mean, when they did have a penalty, they didn't score on it, right? So, I mean, the power play, if they had scored on those six power plays they did get in the final seven games, instead of scoring eight goals in seven games, they would have had 14, and they probably would have ended the series in five games, right? The fact is that they, if they're going to play this way, they need to score on the power play because that is the only deterrent that modern teams understand. So what do you suggest?
One proposal that I heard was to lower the amount of space on the game day roster. Only allow teams 16 players and two goalies. Take away
those two extra guys.
Yeah. The two extra guys that are playing 2.5 minutes a game for the sole purpose of knocking someone headfirst into the boards or beating the crap out of somebody.
Now, that was the argument when they went down from 20 players to 18 years ago. They thought they were going to get rid of the knuckle draggers.
I think they might have. I mean, they certainly stuck around, but not in as large a role as they had been previously.
Well, you certainly don't have guys like Dave Semenko. I mean, Derek Boogaard could actually skate.
Right.
So there's an interesting question there. But I don't know, man. It's a tough question. And there is, even for me, as somebody who has, I mean, I'm pretty much a pacifist. I don't like the fighting in the game. I got to say, in that final last year, I really wanted someone to just punch Marchand's clock.
But that was a very visceral heat of the moment thing. Frankly, if the referees had done the job that we wanted them to, I don't think you would have felt that way.
Well, the arm would have probably gone up after the fourth or fifth punch instead of letting him punch him nine times.
Right. What I'm saying is if there had been some retribution, be it from the refs or the Canucks, you would have been satisfied. It wouldn't necessarily have required somebody to go up and punch him in the face. You know, if he had actually gotten a penalty, as he should have, for punching a guy who wasn't fighting back six times in the face, I think you would have been satisfied with that.
Yeah, entirely possible. Then I just would have been frustrated with the anemic power play.
Yes.
Suddenly anemic power play.
Anyways, I just wanted to get this off my chest. Thank you very much, Jason.
Consider your chest offed.
We'll see you again.
All right. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, when once it seems so strange. Time for a time for a
it's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange.
Anyways, I just wanted to get this off my chest. Thank you very much, Jason.
Consider your chest offed. I don't know.
Me neither.
Sorry.
All right. We'll see you again.
All right.